There have never been more options for your next vehicle, but the right choice has never been clearer. That's because Toyota has a high-performing hybrid built for your exact needs, like the stylish all-new Camry XSE Hybrid and Venza, the spacious Highlander and all-new Sienna with more cargo space, and the fuel-efficient and high-performing RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota hybrids save you time and money, filling up less often at the gas station. And of course, all with 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new models. Take the next step. Visit Toyota.com/hybrid or your local Toyota dealership to learn more.
I am Steve Smith Sr., and on my new podcast, Cut to It, we're talking to your favorite athletes.
The New Orleans Saints, Malcolm Jenkins.
How long did it take for you to take that first step to talk to a therapist?
My body felt like it was in fight or flight, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
iHeartRadio's number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr. on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Hey, 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 it's the girl Love Suhaiti, and this is Love Suhaiti. Talk to her out here on Rebel the Podcast, your go-to podcast for all things love with your cheek up, all things love. Me, Love Suhaiti, we dish on love, sex, relationships, and everything in between. Everything in between. I became a different culture man with a side of laughter and a lot of honesty and rawness. So this is episode 4, season 2, and I want to talk about why I think I'm going to start dating ugly guys. We're going to talk about a lot more, but that is the first thing that came to mind. And in my previous podcast, I actually shared that I have an affinity, which most women do. I have an affinity for hot men. And by hot, I mean like good looking men who like know their it, jegejo types, a little bit arrogant. They just know their it. They know they have it. And their confidence is almost unshakable. And confidence is super sexy in a man and a woman. So I don't believe that I am the in a minority to believe that a man who is hot, aka confident, is usually appealing to most women. But I'm also very picky when it comes to looks. And the weirdest thing is that none of the men that I've been with, like, they don't have the same looks. I don't have a physical type. So my ex Elijah from when I was 26 years old, I'm actually finishing my book, Love Trips, where he's heavily featured. It'll be available February 14th. So go to lovesweetie.com to check out the book on February 14th, Valentine's Day. Perfect time to release my book on all my relationships and all my love stories and breakups and all the sex stories and everything about love and dating that I love to talk about. And Elijah is, because he's not dead, tall, 6 feet tall, chocolate. Oh, just a gorgeous dark-skinned Latino man, okay? And then my ex is 5'6", even though he swears he's 5'7", but he's not. He might be 5'5", to be honest with you. He's a and he's half Vietnamese, half Puerto Rican, light-skinned guy. Completely different, okay? The first guy I ever had a thing for, my puppy love crush that literally crushed my heart, we'll call him Kurt. He's Jewish and Puerto Rican, gold teeth, super white, 5'5". I mean, the men I've dated in terms of physical type run the gamut. I have usually always been attracted to lighter skinned men. But lately, I've been wanting to date a black guy. I've never, ever dated an African-American man. I've dated darker skinned Latinos, Afro-Latinos, but I've never dated an African-American man or like a Caribbean, Afro man. So the tides will be turning because what I have realized is this, and this is the love bite of the day. I'm not interested in hot guys anymore or as much. And by hot, I don't mean confident. I mean just one of those really, like a typical guy that every woman would be like, he is really good looking. Because I still want a man that's confident. But I'm going to go into some qualities later in terms of personality that I'm looking for on Love Suhaiti's top 5. What I mean by not wanting to date a hot guy is that I'm kind of willing to give the average guy a chance. And average is relative, right? And hot, I don't think hot is relative, because a guy that's hot, almost every woman is going to think that the same type of guy is good looking. And that's the type of men that I used to really gravitate towards. My ex, I don't think is hot. I think he's a good looking guy. And a lot of women would see pictures of me and him and think, oh, wow, your fiance is really cute, right? So what gives? What gives with me wanting to date ugly guys? Science, people. I have science, and then I have relationship examples that I'm going to share with you on why this is the formula for relationship success. A good-looking woman with a guy that's not as good-looking as her, right? Because I consider myself to be a pretty good-looking girl. I don't consider myself to be hot like Sofia Vergara or hot like Beyonce, because I think she's gorgeous, or even Rihanna. I actually think Rihanna's more gorgeous than Beyonce in a different way. But I think that I'm a good looking woman. So there's a study that showed that women who marry attractive men worry more about dieting and keeping up appearances. So women who marry men who are really good looking, and women will naturally gravitate to their physical features. Usually those women are a little bit more insecure. They try to keep their looks up. They try to keep their, and it's not like you shouldn't keep up your looks. But when you're constantly working on your physical appearance and your outside and dieting and trying to be skinny all the time, or stay skinny, or always having a full face of makeup, you almost are so consumed with it because the person is so attractive that you feel like you don't measure up, or that they're going to get more attention. So there's more of a risk of cheating, right? And oftentimes women that are with men who are super attractive or more attractive than they are, they can't let their guard down. They can't just like wear sweats and like a t-shirt and put up their hair in a ponytail or in a cap. And listen, I'm not like a sweats type of girl. I'm someone that always has lipstick on. I'm someone that always wants to have my hair done. But once I was comfortable in a relationship, and once I am comfortable in a relationship, I don't feel like I constantly have to have my legs shaved. And I definitely don't have to wear heels all the time or have a full face of makeup on. Even though I'm not a huge makeup person like that anyway, there were times where I dated men who I felt were like really attractive that I did feel like I always had to put on my face and always be on my best physical behavior, almost, where I always had to keep up appearances and try really hard to be the best version of Suhaiti in the physical sense. So the study proves that women do worry more and try harder when they're with a man that they find to be more attractive, and other women also find them to be more attractive. On the other hand, women who marry average looking guys are more carefree about what they eat, about their diet, and they're just much more comfortable, like, being themselves, which is amazing. They don't feel like they have to compete with other women in the same way. So the result of this study was a happier wife. Makes sense. If you're constantly working and trying to be the best physically, then you can't just live and drop your guard and be your authentic self with your partner. Especially now when you're out and about and having a good time, you're too busy trying to look perfect. And that pressure crushes someone's self-esteem, and it crushes the relationship, because a woman who feels this way and that they have to continue to keep up pretenses and be this perfect Barbie doll, right, is going to constantly think that the man that they're with, their husband, who's very good looking, is going to always be kicked it to by another woman or looked at by another woman. I think there was a show. Was it Sex and the City? I'm trying to remember. There was an episode of a show. Maybe it was Sex and the City. Yes. Oh my God. It's coming to me now, people. Miranda was dating a really hot cop. And everywhere they went, wherever they were on a date, the deli, a coffee shop, women would eye him, look at him, flirt with him in front of her, because in this scenario, he was way hotter than Miranda. And Miranda was like the least attractive one in Sex and the City, I think most people would agree. Even though maybe some people think that Carrie Bradshaw, Sarah Jessica Parker, isn't that attractive, but to each their own, right? But for the most part, the general consensus was that Miranda was the least attractive, the least sexy, the more boyish. And then you have this cop who's like hot and sweet and confident, and all these women were fawning all over him on this episode, so much so that Miranda got really insecure and really intimidated by his good looks and all the attention that he was getting, that she ended up breaking up with him. And at one point in the episode, she was like, wait, you want to be with me? You want to have sex with me? You want to be in a relationship with me? Because he really liked her and he wanted to actually commit to her. And she was like, no, you must be. And she self-sabotaged because it was too much pressure for her. She was like, I feel like I constantly have to look better than I want to and be perfect because you're so hot and you're so perfect and I cannot deal with this pressure. He wasn't putting the pressure on her. She was putting the pressure on herself because society was deeming them as she's less attractive and he's hotter. So again, that doesn't make for a happy spouse, a happy wife, and it definitely doesn't make for a healthy relationship, okay? Plus, I know a lot of women, maybe a handful, and I'm not gonna call them out. So I don't want them to think that I think their husbands are not good looking. But I think that they know. I know a handful of women who are really attractive, good looking women, have their shit together, intelligent, hardworking, have a job that they like, maybe not love, but a job that they like, dedicated, good moms, some don't have kids, but their husbands are not so good looking. If you see their husbands and you see them side to side, you see them at a bar, you'd be like, damn, how did he get her? Because she's a pretty girl. And he's a height. He's just a height. But guess what? These women have the best husbands ever. The best hubby ever! Okay? I have seen these couples that I'm talking about in action. I have seen how these men adore their wives. I have seen how they go above and beyond for their wives. I have seen how they support their wives, how they encourage their wives, how they inspire their wives, how they're the backbone, how they provide, how they're like, babe, I got you. Okay? That's, I think, what the difference is between dating a guy. And I'm not saying that men who are attractive can't be that. But oftentimes, men who are super attractive, know they're attractive, and have that confidence, have that super confidence that they know that they can get any girl, they don't appreciate the girl that they have, especially if they didn't really have to work as hard for the girl because they're good looking and they can get any girl that they want. They don't appreciate that girl as much. They don't hold her down as much, and they don't do everything to keep her. That is my theory. I will let you know if I am right once I start dating some guys. And yes, I've been lately just thinking about it. And it's just, I was peeing today. I don't know what pee had to do with this thought. But when I'm in the bathroom, whether it's in the shower, on the toilet, I have the best intuition. So I was peeing and it hit me. I think I want a black guy. I think my next man is going to be a black man. And I'm going to have a baby with that black man. Are we going to get married? And maybe it's because I've been watching Married to Medicine. And I mentioned Married to Medicine on my last podcast. I'm like addicted to the show. Why did y'all not tell me that the show is so good? I didn't love the first season because the first season, it was about a lot of catfighting. But as the seasons went on, it's more about relationships and couples. I burped and I bleeped that out. FYI. That's why I'm laughing randomly. Anyway, Married to Medicine. So the show is about doctors who are married to doctors or married to non-doctors. And the focus is the women. And some of the women that are the stars of the show are doctors and some are doctors' wives. So all of them are married. At least until the season that I've seen, which is season 5. All of them are married. And it goes really deep into the different dynamics of different relationships. They have a couples trip once a year, and it's like 3 or 4 episodes where they really delve into marriage and relationships and the issues of each relationship. So it's an awesome show. I'm learning a lot. And one of the things that I have learned is that black men, from what I've seen, black men, at least in this show, are super committed. And I was listening to The Breakfast Club. I actually was watching it on Revolt TV because I like watching them. I listen every morning now. Ever since the new year, I've been listening to TD Jakes, The Potter's Touch, which is a podcast I really suggest to check out if you want some morning spiritual godly inspiration. I listen to it on my way to work every morning and it sets my day, because I'm a type of person that in order for me to feel like I'm going to have a positive day and start the day off on a positive foot, I have to have some positive words to have that positive mindset throughout the day and just remind me to keep positive and be inspired and that God has my back, right? So great podcast to listen to is The Potter's Touch. So I don't listen to The Breakfast Club anymore in the morning anymore. And I used to also listen to Ebro in the morning, but I'm not listening to either of those shows. But I do watch The I keep saying Breakfast Club. It's because my voice isn't fully 100% because I'm not 100% well yet. I mean, this has been like the longest cold ever. So The Breakfast Club on Revolt TV is what I watch, or I have it playing in the background while I'm cooking or cleaning. Charlemagne the God was talking about how Black men, like, they're stepping up their game in terms of faithfulness. And he said that he knows a lot of Black men who are really faithful. And, like, being faithful is, like, the cool thing to do and the cool thing to be now for a Black man. So I was like, maybe that's why I thought about it when I was going to pee. I want a man that's faithful and that's committed and that holds their woman down. And from what I've seen, most Black men and women that I know that are with Black men, their men, their husbands hold their women down. I'm not knocking Latinos. I still love my Latino man. But I've dated and been with Latinos all my life. I've never been with a Black man. I've never been in a relationship with a Black man. I've never had sex with a Black man. Maybe he's going to turn me out. But I have always been with Latino men. And I love Latino men. But I think it's time for a change, right? Right. Okay, so it's time for the Love Rapidita. And I wanted to talk about Netflix Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. It's a docuseries about Ted Bundy, as you all know, who's a serial killer who confessed to 30 murders. And actually, people believe that the number is higher. And people who've watched the show, who've been watching this docuseries, are focusing on how hot Ted Bundy is. Like, people have been tweeting about it, right? And I'm gonna read some of the tweets because it's kind of crazy. I'm not watching the documentary, at least not yet, because I think I would be freaked out. This is a true story. This man was a serial killer. And it can happen to anybody. If a person's a sociopath, which he was, and a psycho, which he was, he can have any woman fall for his charm, which apparently he was super charming and hot. So this is what people have said on Twitter. I don't care what anybody says. I'd be the dead hitchhiker because I would get in any car with someone that looks like Zac Efron, because Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy in the Conversations with the Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. I think so, because I thought it was a docuseries. But I don't know. People do say that Ted Bundy is hot. And I think Zac Efron might be acting in this docuseries. And then someone else tweeted, the most beautiful psychopath in the world. LOL, hashtag Ted Bundy. Netflix, though, wants people to stop the madness. They want people to cut it out because this guy was horrendous. And like I said, I'm not watching this docuseries, at least not yet. I might watch it later on in life when I'm like 70, if Netflix still exists. And I'm like, ain't no psychopath gonna want me now. Because I'm wrinkly, my boobs are hanging. Maybe that's when I'll watch it. But I don't want to watch it now. I'm a little intimidated. I'm not a fan of scary movies. I'm not a fan of thrillers. I get in my head. I've never watched Get Out, and everyone tells me it's so great. But I know it's not like a scary movie, but it gets in your head, and I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything but positive things being in my head, okay? So that's the Love Rapidita of the day. I just think it's funny how social media sexualizes everything. Even something like a serial killer. Something that shouldn't be sexualized, we sexualize everything. And again, going back to the good looks, going back to the attractiveness, right? Ted Bundy, if you do see a picture of him online, he was a good-looking guy and he was charming. So women gravitated toward him, even though I'm sure there were red flags. I'm sure they saw things that were weird. Another show that I was watching was Dirty John. I haven't finished watching it on Bravo. The guy who played Dirty John on the show, he's a good-looking guy also. I don't know if Dirty John in real life was attractive, but he had all these women fooled and he conned all these women. That's another show you should really check out. It's not as scary as Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. I haven't seen it again, but I know it's really scary because everyone on Twitter is also saying that it's really creepy. There was one tweet that was hilarious where a woman was like, okay, so I'm going to bolt lock my door tonight because I just watched Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. So I don't want to deadbolt my door, but Dirty John is definitely a good show. If you're a scaredy cat like me and you like the real life story type of content, which I do, I love reading memoirs, I love reading anything having to do with something that's based on a true story, same thing with movies. If you love that, then I would check out Dirty John by Bravo. That's also a true story. And it's based on a podcast, Dirty John, which I would love to hear because I hear that the podcast is a lot heavier and goes into more details about all the things that this man did, okay? Go check it out. Bueno, mi gente, it's time for Love Suhiri's Top 5. So Love Suhiri's Top 5, which is what I do every week, and I've been doing this since actually season 2. I didn't do it in season 1. Season 2 just in general has changed a lot because I wanted to structure the podcast a little bit more and the formatting. I felt like in season 1 everything was kind of all over the place. I wasn't getting a lot of reviews, so please review if you like it. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please look me up on social media at Love Suhiri and follow me there as well. But I just wanted to structure it a little bit more. So that's why I started doing Love Bite of the Day and the Love Rapidita and Love Celebrity Gossip and now Love Suhiri's Top 5. So if you want to listen to anything on this podcast that I'm not covering, again, hit me up on the podcast. You can leave me a comment on the comment notes while you leave your review, or you can hit me up on Love Suhiri. I'm always on Instagram for the most part, Facebook, so. I am taking a social media hiatus. I'm not really active until February 14th. Which is when Love Trip is gonna drop. But I do want to just really start doing more Instagram lives and talking to my audience a little bit more. I have to find the time. No excuses. All right. Love Suhiri's Top 5. This is the top 5 qualities that I'm seeking in my next partner. Who will be my husband? I'm claiming it, mi gente. I'm claiming it. So let's get real. And it's always fun, okay? But this is really honest. This is from my heart, people. This is from my heart. Okay, number 5, compassion. Talked about a little bit about compassion in the last podcast. Compassion is such an amazing quality to have as a person because you can really tune into your partner's needs and you can really just be empathetic when someone that you love is going through something, even if you don't understand it. Number 4 is family-orientedness. That's not a word. But it's so important for me to have somebody that's family oriented because I love my family. I'm obsessed with my family. Some people think it's a little much. I talk to my mom twice a day. I stopped talking to her 4 or 5 times a day because it was getting a little much for me. But I talk to her like 2 times a day because I need that connection. I talk to my sister a lot more now, actually on the 31st. Which I'm not sure when this episode is going to drop. I'm hoping to drop it on Friday, which is February 1st. So if it drops on Friday, then yesterday would have been the 31st. And the 31st, my niece Elsie is going to have cranial surgery. Really, really heavy duty surgery. So I know this is not the top 5, but I just thought of her. I ask that you pray for my niece Elsie. She's not even 2 years old yet. She's been in the hospital, in the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, since she was born, basically. She has a really rare condition when it comes to her lymph nodes, and she has a lot of abnormalities. She's a healthy girl mentally, and she's aware, but her lymph nodes are all jacked up. So cranial surgery is another thing that she has to do because her brain is developing, but her skull isn't expanding. So it's just a lot for my sister and a lot for that family and for my family. So pray for my niece Elsie. Please keep her in her thoughts. Okay, I said I love my family, you see? Number 3, humbleness. Man, confidence is great, but there's people who are confident to the borderline of arrogant, where they think that they're better than everyone, and that's not attractive. Someone who's humble, who's grounded, is super sexy. Number 2, someone who's a team player. And I actually thought about this on Married to Medicine. They use that word because the couple, it's Quad and Greg. And someone said that Greg isn't a team player because Greg, and neither is Quad, because all they want to do is they both just want to be right. And when you're a team player in a relationship, then you can be okay with being wrong and kind of bending and being more flexible, even when you don't want to be, you're flexible. And it's not about being right and proving the other person wrong all the time. So I think that's a great quality. Number four is God-fearing. I've been on this journey this year. I've been connected to God since last year in March. I started going to church every Sunday. Sometimes I miss Sundays, but I'm now a member of a church, and I've never been a member of a church my entire life. Maybe when I was a baby, when I was younger, my mom would take us to church. But as an adult, I've never been a member of a church. And I realize how important God is in my life now. I'm listening, like I said, to T.D. Jakes every morning when I drive to work. I listen to preachings all day, positive words all day, because it's really reinforcing positivity in my life and a positive mindset and just helping me align with my purpose and my passion and just happiness. No matter what's going on in life, no matter what chaos, no matter what heartbreak, no matter what changes and transitions and transpires that I don't have any control over, God is helping me stay centered, you know? So to have someone that believes that is amazing, because then you can build a life and a foundation and a relationship with God in the center. And I think that really, really helps a couple when they're struggling. And I know a lot of couples who are God-fearing and who go to church and who both have the same beliefs. And, you know, it's not perfect, because God's not going to make a relationship perfect, but they have more tools to work through things because God's helping them communicate. And obviously they also have a church community that helps them kind of work through their problems. So that's Love Suhaiti's top five. I'd love to know your top five qualities. Hit me up on social media at Love Suhaiti. Again, subscribe to the podcast. Review the podcast and let me know what you think. And share it. Share it, share it, share it. Okay, that is it for me. Love Suhaiti Talks over here on Her Voted Podcast. I hope you have an amazing weekend. I hope you stay warm. The polar vortex in New York City and all over the country actually is in full effect. So I'm hoping that by the time you listen to this podcast, it's at least 30 degrees wherever you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Make sure to subscribe, review, share, and check out the next episode next week.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me, my car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with GEICO, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
GEICO. Great service without all the drama.